Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, September 14th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Stocks rise on optimism over a coronavirus treatment and a flurry of deals.
Oracle appears to beat out Microsoft for TikTok's U.S. operations.
And NVIDIA makes the biggest purchase ever in the semiconductor industry.
New York State's COVID infection rate remains below 1% for 37 straight days. Wildfires continue to burn in the West and another Gulf Coast tropical storm. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees won, the Mets, Jets, and Islanders lost, and Dominic Thiem won a classic U.S. Open final.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Crises bring out the best in people. Character, community, partnership, together is one. SEI. Go to SEIC.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are surging to start the week. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 39 points, Dow futures up 270, NASDAQ futures up 154. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%, CAC in Paris up 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 is little changed. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.66%, yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7%, or 26 cents at $37.06 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.3%, or $6.1953.90 an ounce. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the boost we are seeing in equity markets this morning comes as optimism grows over a coronavirus vaccine. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, one of the companies racing to develop a vaccine is putting out an ambitious timetable.
In our base case, we have quite a good chance, more than 60%, that we will know if the product works or not by the end of October.
That's Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla telling Face the Nation on CBS they've almost finished testing 30,000 people for phase 3 trials of the shot they're developing with BioNTech. Now he says they're focused on recruiting more vulnerable patients.
We will go to people with special conditions, chronic conditions, like HIV patients. But also, we will try to use it to increase the diversity of the population.
Well, Bourla doesn't know whether the Food and Drug Administration will approve Pfizer's shot by next month. Even if it does, former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says frontline workers will probably get it first.
This is likely to be a very staged market entry. I think that's what people should expect. But for most people, they will not have access to a vaccine until 2021. I think maybe the first quarter of 2021, probably the first half of 2021.
Gottlieb was also on Face the Nation, heard on Bloomberg Radio. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And that's not the only encouraging vaccine news this morning. The University of Oxford and AstraZeneca have restarted their trial of an experimental COVID-19 shot. It was halted last week over concerns about a participant who fell ill. UK officials recommended the study resume after an independent review of the safety data.
Well, there's plenty of M&A news to pass along this Monday morning. We begin with a surprise victor in the battle for the U.S. operations of TikTok. As Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Doug Krisner reports, Oracle appears to be the winner.
We're told the terms being discussed with Oracle are still evolving. One possibility is Oracle taking a stake of a newly formed U.S. business while serving as TikTok's U.S. technology partner and housing TikTok's data in Oracle's cloud servers. Now, it's unclear whether the White House would approve. Various factions in the Trump administration have been pushing for a complete shutdown or an outright sale of TikTok to an American company. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thanks. And shares of Oracle are up more than 8%, while Microsoft is down about a third percent in early trading.
And we also have the biggest deal ever in the semiconductor industry today. NVIDIA has agreed to buy ARM, SoftBank's chip division, for $40 billion. The move provides Masayoshi Son's company with another boost in liquidity. And we get more from Bloomberg's Pavel Alpiev.
It's certainly a happy end for Son to be able to get out of it with a premium. It would create a bit of a cognitive dissonance considering the extent to which he painted ARM as a centerpiece of his sort of AI investment strategy. But markets certainly love it when Son sells stuff.
The deal gives NVIDIA some of the most widely used technology in electronics. Regulatory approval may take as long as 18 months since the deal needs sign-offs from the UK, China, the EU, and the US.
In the drug industry, Gilead has agreed to buy Immunomedics for about $21 billion. The New Jersey company makes a promising breast cancer therapy. Its stock is up more than 100% this morning.
The chairman of UBS and Credit Suisse are reportedly exploring a potential merger to create one of Europe's largest banks. Swiss media reports the project is driven by UBS chairman Axel Weber and could happen early next year. Spokesman for the two banks declined to comment.
All right, turning from corporate news to politics now. A showdown is looming in the British Parliament as Boris Johnson sends his bill seeking to change the Brexit withdrawal agreement to the House of Commons today. As Bloomberg's Sandra Kilhoff reports, the prime minister is facing increasing opposition from his own party.
Former prime ministers and EU leaders have attacked the plan. Now the former Attorney General Geoffrey Cox has joined a growing Conservative rebellion. Boris Johnson's plan would allow the UK to unilaterally override parts of the divorce treaty it signed with the EU. Now the prime minister has to see off a revolt from Tory MPs who are seeking to amend the bill in its initial stages when it's debated and voted on today. In London, Sandra Kilhoff, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sandra, thank you. In Asia, Japanese Chief Cabinet Secretary Yoshishide Suga has been elected leader of the ruling Liberal Democratic Party by an overwhelming majority. Suga's appointment will bring to an end the record run of his ailing boss, Shinzo Abe, who has served since 2012.
And back here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve meets on interest rates this week as health authorities warn the pandemic could worsen this winter. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the central bank will at some point signal its willingness to let inflation exceed its 2% target to boost growth. Less than half the economists surveyed by Bloomberg see the Fed doing that this week, though they do see the Fed holding interest rates near zero. Data this week is expected to show gains in retail sales and industrial production and a pause in housing starts as the U.S. claws away from this year's economic collapse. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. S&P futures up 40 points this morning. Dow futures up 283. NASDAQ futures up 160. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Now let's see what else is going on around the world on this busy Monday morning. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said the state's COVID infection rate remains below 1% for 37 straight days. Cuomo said yesterday that the state reported 725 new cases of coronavirus. Also starting today, riders will be fined $50 for not wearing a mask on MTA public transportation. New toll hikes begin in New Jersey. Tolls will rise on the New Jersey Turnpike by 36%. Tolls on the Garden State Parkway rise by 27%. The State Turnpike Authority approved the increases in May. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves has declared a state of emergency in preparation for Tropical Storm Sally. It is expected to be a hurricane when it makes landfall in the Gulf Coast. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Sally continues to become better organized in the Gulf of Mexico, and it looks like it's going to be making landfall somewhere just east of the New Orleans area Tuesday evening. Could make landfall near past Christiane, Mississippi, which would be pretty close to where Katrina made landfall back in 2005 and Camille back in 69. The problem with the storm is it's over some very warm water, so there's the possibility that it may intensify quite a bit here over the next 24 hours, and that could lead to it going ashore with winds over 85 miles an hour. We're going to have to watch it carefully. I'm Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
Dozens of people reported missing after a devastating blaze in southern Oregon have been accounted for. Crews are battling wildfires that have killed at least 35 from California to Washington State. Meanwhile, leaders from western states are taking on the climate change deniers. Over the weekend, President Trump insists it's about forest management, not climate change. On ABC's This Week, Washington Governor Jay Inslee says it's time to stop calling climate change a hoax.
And for Donald Trump to say he's a hero of climate change is like saying he's a hero of masks against COVID. And this idea that somehow we could have solved this problem by timber thinning is just a bunch of malarkey.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. President Trump claimed he's delivered for Hispanic Americans more than any other president at an event with the Latino supporters in Nevada. At a Sunday roundtable in Las Vegas, the president praised Latino Americans, saying they have strong business acumen. Trump also held a rally indoors in Henderson, Nevada.
I call them the Hispanics. I call them Latino, you know. I say, what do you prefer? It's very interesting. Some say, call us Latino. Others say, call us Hispanic. Others say, call us whatever the hell you want. We love you.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. It's almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashar.
Good morning, Nathan. There may have been no fans. May have been between two guys who'd both never won a Grand Slam, but a memorable U.S. Open men's singles final, the first ever to end in a fifth-set tiebreaker. Dominic Thiem became the first since Pancho Gonzalez in 1949. To lose the first two sets and win the next three, he outlasted Alex Zverev. The match went over 4 hours. The Jets season did not begin well. Buffalo jumped in front 21-0 as Josh Allen threw for two touchdowns, ran for another. Jets did get a 69-yard TD. Sam Darnold and Jamison Crowder, they scored again in the final minute. But the Bills beat the Jets 27-17. There were three Week 1 upsets. Arizona came from behind and won at San Francisco 24-20. Jacksonville took its first lead with 6 minutes left, beat Indianapolis 27-20. That was the only game where there were some fans allowed in. And the Washington football team, down 17-0, scored the last 27 to stun Philadelphia. The Yankees didn't start Gleyber Torres, but used him as a pinch hitter in the eighth inning of a tie game.
Line toward the alley in right center. It is a base hit. One hop off the right center field wall. Hicks scores. And rounding third, Frazier. The throw home is not in time. It is a two-run pinch hit double by Gleyber Torres. And the Yankees take a 3-1 lead.
And with the final over the Orioles, WFAN the call. The Mets lost to the Blue Jays 7-3. The Islanders lost to Tampa Bay 4-1. Face elimination tomorrow night. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
Okay, John, thanks. U.S. futures are higher by 1% or more across the board. Right now, S&P futures up 40 points. Dow futures up 279. NASDAQ futures up 161 points. We'll get a closer look at these markets with Daniel Morris of BNP Paribas straight ahead. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks climbing after a two-week slump, and U.S. stock index futures are rallying amid a flurry of deal activity and signs of progress toward a virus vaccine. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 40 points. Dow futures up 270. NASDAQ futures up 154, about 1.4%. The DAX in Germany is up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.66%. Yield on the two-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% or 42 cents at $36.92 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.70 at $19.53.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.1860 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2857, and the yen is at 106. And we continue to watch shares of Immunomedics. They're more than doubling in the U.S. pre-market after Gilead Sciences agreed to buy the cancer drug maker for $21 billion. And Lennar's among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Northern California officials say two more people have been confirmed dead from wildfires burning in the state. That brings the state's total wildfire death toll to 24 this year. The Gulf Coast is now preparing for Tropical Storm Sally. It's expected to strengthen into a hurricane by the time it makes landfall later this week. In week one of the NFL, the Jets lost to the Bills, the Patriots, and Washington won. The 49ers lost. The Giants faced the Steelers tonight. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 3-1. The Mets lost along with the Nationals. The Red Sox won. The A's lost to the Rangers. The Giants lost a doubleheader. In the NHL East Finals, the Islanders lost. In tennis, Dominic Thiem won the men's U.S. Open title. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and it looks like the Bulls are winning when it comes to markets as we get this week started. Daniel Morris joins us now, senior investment strategist at BNP Paribas Asset Management. So nice to have you on with us as we get this week started, Daniel. And certainly a lot of headlines driving this current rally, from deal news, a flurry of that, to Pfizer coming out with this aggressive timetable for coming up with a vaccine, perhaps by the end of next month. Is it just headline driven, or do you see something more significant driving this rally right now?
Well, hopefully a bit of fundamentals and a bit of good headlines. I think you're right that the markets, for the most part, certainly in the U.S. at least, and this is a big contrast with Europe, in the U.S. focusing more and more kind of on post-COVID, if you will, on the prospects for a vaccine. You do see declining infections, low death rates in the U.S. in contrast to Europe. So I think that's part of the positive buzz that I think you have there. Secondarily, if you do look at earnings revisions, they're running about 2-1 positive over negative in the U.S., you've got deal activity. I mean, all of that, I think, is certainly supportive. And then if we think about, you know, the increasing significance of the elections between now and November, kind of most of, though certainly not all of the scenarios that you come up with, probably are still going to be supportive for equities. You're either going to see increased fiscal stimulus if it's more towards a Democratic win, if it's more on the Republican side, other types of support, tax cuts. So I think it's going to be a mood where the markets are looking for the good side of things as necessarily the bad.
When you talk about looking toward a post-COVID reality, does that imply that maybe now is the time to start thinking about rotating out of tech into more value plays?
Well, I think there's two sides to that decision. On the one half, certainly we've already seen the correction that we've had in tech, though I think it's worth keeping in mind that a lot of that sell-off has been concentrated in relatively few names. It certainly is broad-based, but you don't see the percentage declines across all of technology as you do in some of the more of the hardware-specific names. That said, if we've certainly seen the benefit of tech from the pandemic up to now, you would anticipate on the margin that to the degree you move post-pandemic, there's less emphasis on investing, say, in infrastructure to support people working from home and so on. You would think, you would imagine marginally less demand there, and then rotating towards what we hope to be some type of normality in the future, towards consumer discretionary, travel and leisure and so on. I think the flip side is what you see for value, whether or not you're going to see a significant increase in interest rates. And there I think it becomes more challenging. On one hand, you do have the change in the Fed's framework, which they're now explicitly looking for above 2% inflation. That should support inflation expectations. That should benefit nominal yields. But at the same time, they're essentially telling you, we're going to keep policy rates, you know, near zero for a very, very long time. And so real rates are going to stay low or fall. And so it's really the net of those two that drive nominal yields. And you need to have higher nominal yields if you really want to see value and particularly banks start to outperform.
Do you think we'll see more clarity from the Fed when they meet later this week on how they plan to boost inflation expectations?
I think we would all love to. How much they're really going to be able to convey is a challenge. I mean, honestly, this is a debate we've been having for at least a decade. Despite everything, despite QE, despite zero interest rates, despite negative interest rates, despite a change in inflation objectives, the way the Bank of Japan did, Japan had already said they wanted above 2% inflation, and of course, inflation has gone nowhere. So I think we all quite deeply appreciate how the Fed's capacity to influence not only inflation expectations, but actual inflation is pretty limited. It comes down to growth. It comes down to productivity. It comes down to demographics, all these other things that are outside of their control. So they'll talk a good game. And on the margin, it should help because the central bank is telling you, our objective has changed. We're going to be more permissive than we were in the past. But all those other factors aren't going to change. And if we think about the longer term implications, for example, of COVID, to the degree it results in onshoring and less globalization, that should be positive for inflation. But that's irrespective of what the Fed is doing.
Just about 15 seconds left here, Daniel. We're coming off two straight weeks of declines here. Are those completely in the rearview mirror now, do you think?
Well, I think if you look at the trend for technology, we're kind of back to where we were pre the rally that began in August. So I think that is an indicator that I think we're close to where we need to be. Now, markets can always overshoot, but we're still optimistic over the medium term.
Thanks for this, Daniel. Great having you on with us. Daniel Morris, senior investment strategist at BNP Paribas Asset Management. Risk on with plenty of headlines to drive the rally this morning. S&P futures are up 42 points or 1.25%. Dow futures up 296. That's a gain of almost 1.1%. NASDAQ futures higher by 162 points. That is a gain of just about 1.5%. 10-year up 1/32nd. The yield 0.66% on a 10-year treasury note. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing stocks rise to begin the trading week as optimism over a coronavirus vaccine boosts sentiment. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John, good morning.
And Karen, Pfizer's CEO Albert Bourla says it's likely the U.S. will deploy a COVID-19 vaccine to the public before year end.
In our base case, we have quite a good chance, more than 60%, that we will know if the product works or not by the end of October.
Bourla on Face the Nation from CBS, heard on Bloomberg Radio, says he's quite comfortable the vaccine developed with BioNTech is safe and could be available before year's end. The companies hope to include 44,000 patients this week for a clinical trial. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. There's some more optimism this morning on the vaccine front. The University of Oxford and AstraZeneca have restarted the UK trial of their shot. It was halted last week over concerns about a participant who fell ill.
A flurry of deals are also boosting equities this morning. Bloomberg News has learned that Oracle has beat out Microsoft in the battle for TikTok. As Bloomberg senior editor Derek Wallbank reports, TikTok owner ByteDance favors a tie-up that looks more like a restructuring than an outright sale.
We're seeing some language being used that's somewhat unique. Oracle is apparently a trusted technology partner in the U.S., and that is going to convey something very specific, but it hasn't been outlined exactly what that is. So suggesting that it's a little less than as straightforward as a deal, no deal might be.
And Oracle's shares are up 8.5%, while Microsoft is down 0.33%.
In Tokyo, shares of SoftBank surged 9%. The company reached a deal to sell its chip division Arm to NVIDIA for $40 billion. NVIDIA shares are up almost 6%.
Shares of New Jersey-based Immunomedics have more than doubled in pre-market trading. It's being acquired by Gilead Sciences for about $21 billion. Immunomedics makes a promising breast cancer therapy.
And the chairman of UBS and Credit Suisse are reportedly exploring a potential merger to create one of Europe's largest banks. Swiss media report the project is driven by UBS chairman Axel Weber and could happen early next year. Spokesman for the two banks declined to comment.
S&P futures are up 42 points this morning. Dow futures up 296 and NASDAQ futures up 159. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1% and the 10-year treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year 0.13%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state's COVID infection rate remains below 1% for 37 straight days. Cuomo said yesterday that the state reported 725 new cases of coronavirus. He says, though, as we head into the fall and flu season, we need everyone to continue to wear masks, socially distance, and wash their hands. Also starting today, riders will be fined $50 for not wearing a mask on MTA public transportation. Storm-weary Gulf Coast residents are preparing for a new weather onslaught as Tropical Storm Sally churns northward. Forecasters from the National Hurricane Center in Miami said Sally is expected to become a hurricane today and reach shore by early tomorrow. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves has declared a state of emergency in preparation for Sally. The slow-moving storm is expected to dump as much as 15 to 20 inches of rain on some parts of Mississippi.
Obviously, That is going to lead to significant rising water levels and the potential for significant need for search and rescue.
A Northern California sheriff says that two more people have been confirmed dead from wildfires burning in the state. At least 35 people have died from fires in California, Oregon, and Washington State. As the wildfires continue to burn up and down the West Coast, President Trump plans to visit California today. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
And the president over the weekend doubled down on his argument that bad forest management is to blame for the devastation. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti has joined with Governor Gavin Newsom in insisting it is climate change.
Talk to a firefighter if you think that climate change isn't real. And it seems like this administration are the last vestiges of the flat earth society of this generation.
And says the state needs real federal action. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump will also speak in Arizona today. Last night, the president held a rally in an indoor venue in Henderson, Nevada. He talked about the two Los Angeles sheriff's deputies who were shot sitting in their patrol car Saturday night.
Our thoughts are with the two sheriff's deputies in Los Angeles who were fighting for their lives when a vicious criminal walked up to their vehicle and shot them at point-blank range.
The deputies are both in critical but stable condition. A new CBS poll shows Democratic nominee Joe Biden leads President Trump by 9 percentage points in Minnesota and by 3 points in Arizona among likely voters. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. It is almost 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Three times Dominic Thiem lost a Grand Slam final, including earlier this year in Australia. It was looking like it was going to happen again. Thiem dropped the first two sets to Alex Zverev, but became the first in 71 years to win the men's singles final when down 2-love. 2-6, 4-6, 6-4, 6-3, 7-6, and 8-6 of the tiebreaker. A sensational match to end the U.S. Open. No hitter in baseball. The Cubs' Alec Mills in Milwaukee, just his 15th major league start. Yankees beat the Orioles 3-1 on Gleyber Torres' pinch hit 2-run double in the 8th inning. The Mets and Jets were both in Buffalo. Both lost. The Mets to the Blue Jays 7-3. Toronto scored 5 times in the 6th inning. The Jets lost their season opener to the Bills 27-17. Josh Allen, drafted behind Sam Darnold, outplayed him 33-46, career high 312 yards. Allen threw for 2 touchdowns, ran for another. The game last night, the first at the new stadium in L.A., the Rams beat the Cowboys 20-17. Two teams yesterday came back from a 17-point deficit. Chicago trailed by that in the fourth quarter and still won at Detroit. Washington rallied past Philadelphia. Tom Brady lost his Tampa Bay debut in New Orleans. Well, his old team, the Patriots, beat Miami. Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson both threw for 4 touchdowns and wins for Green Bay and Seattle. Islanders lost to Tampa Bay 4-1. The Lightning with 2 goals in a 12-second span of the second period now lead the series 3-1. The Denver Nuggets are now 5-0 and faced with elimination. They beat the Clippers to force a Game 7 tomorrow. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
The owner of the New York Sports Clubs chain has filed for court protection from its creditors. It's been unable to keep up with debt payments after the shutdown caused by the coronavirus outbreak. Town Sports International filed a Chapter 11 bankruptcy petition in the District of Delaware. Century 21 Stores, an iconic New York off-price department store chain, has filed for bankruptcy with plans to shut down. It's the latest victim of the retail industry carnage that's accelerated during the pandemic. The retailer will hold going-out-of-business sales at its 13 stores in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Florida. The Delaware River Basin Commission has suspended its approval for a planned New Jersey terminal to export liquefied natural gas. The move will halt construction, at least temporarily, on the Delaware River Partners project, according to a trade journal. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thanks. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Amazon is hiring in Illinois and many other states as it looks to take on 100,000 new employees.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting Miami-Dade movie theaters will be allowed to reopen soon at 50% capacity.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the growing revolt among Tory MPs against the government's plan to change the EU divorce deal.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Soybean futures burst through $10 a bushel for the first time in 2 years.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting European car makers will face bigger emission cuts than they've been counting on.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. As U.S. futures point to a strong open this morning after a volatile week for U.S. stocks, we get more on the week ahead from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
After two losing weeks in a row for U.S. stocks, investor focus will be on central banks, easing coronavirus lockdowns, and questions about lofty technology valuations. Michael Hewson is chief market analyst at CMC Markets in London.
So I would liken this decline in tech stocks to the equivalent of blowing the froth off a very hot latte. That basically means that we've seen a little bit of profit taken and a little bit of heat taken out of the overall rally.
Among the companies scheduled to report earnings this week, Lennar, Adobe, and FedEx. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Also this week, Charlie, the OPEC Plus coalition meets online to discuss rescuing the oil market. The cartel and its allies are seeing the recovery stall. Prices slipped below $40 a barrel last week for the first time since June, and they're below 40 on the current session. Brent's at $39.41. West Texas Intermediate is at $36.87. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks climbing after a two-week slump, and U.S. stock index futures are rallying amid a flurry of deal activity and signs of progress toward a virus vaccine. Treasuries are little changed ahead of this week's Federal Reserve meeting. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 32 points. Dow futures up 201. NASDAQ futures up 129, or 1.2%. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2% now. 10-year Treasury is up 1/32, the yield 0.66%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 38 cents at $36.95 a barrel. And COMEX gold is little changed, up a dollar to $1948.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1851 against the dollar. British pound 1.2850. The yen 106.01. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, slow-moving tropical storm Sally continues its path to the Gulf Coast. It's expected to strengthen to a hurricane before it makes landfall later this week. Senator Bernie Sanders said Joe Biden needs to talk more about his plans to revive the U.S. economy, including a higher minimum wage to earn Americans' votes and beat President Trump in November. Meanwhile, Trump will speak today in Arizona and California. In week one of the NFL, the Jets lost to the Bills, the Patriots and Washington won. The 49ers lost. The Giants faced the Steelers tonight. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 3-1. The Mets lost along with the Nationals. The Red Sox won. The A's lost to the Rangers. The Giants lost a doubleheader. NHL East Finals, the Islanders lost. In tennis, Dominic Thiem won the men's U.S. Open title. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's almost 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get more now. One of our top stories. Bloomberg News has learned TikTok has abandoned talks with Microsoft to sell its music video app in the U.S. Instead, it is favoring a likely partnership or restructuring deal with Oracle. And for more on this, we're joined from our Hong Kong studios by Bloomberg Senior International Editor Jody Schneider. Thanks for coming on this evening for you, Jody. And I guess the first question to ask would be, what went wrong for Microsoft?
Yeah, well, a number of things. But in a nutshell, both governments had to like this deal. And if you say it's kind of a hostile takeover, that wasn't going to go very well. So basically, the terms being discussed with Oracle still appear to be evolving, what the deal looks like is that it could take a stake in a newly formed U.S. business while serving as TikTok's U.S. technology partner and housing the video app in Oracle's cloud servers. That way, this seems to be something that would be more acceptable to Beijing and might still work with the Trump administration. The way that the deal with Microsoft was as an out-and-out purchase, the Beijing government is just not going to want. Shortly after bids from Microsoft and Oracle were submitted, the Chinese government announced its right to be closely involved in approval of any deal and opposition to exporting key algorithms, such as the recommendation engine that underpins TikTok, were part of the concern.
What's making observers think that Oracle's bid to make this more like a partnership or a corporate restructuring would still stand muster with the U.S.? I mean, a lot of what the Trump administration has been hammering against about TikTok is the threat to national security from all the data it ostensibly holds on American users.
Yeah, and we don't know yet how. We haven't really heard from President Trump. We may get a tweet soon, but we haven't heard from him whether this deal would pass muster with the Trump administration, which obviously started this whole thing. This was forced because of President Trump saying they were going to ban the app on grounds of national security. However, Oracle has pretty good relations with the Trump administration. They have had a closer relationship to the president than many companies. And they've nurtured this relationship since before his administration began. And Vice President Mike Pence visited their headquarters recently. So in recent weeks, he's publicly endorsed the Oracle bid, President Trump, and called the head of Oracle a tremendous guy. So this helps. Those relationships, it's all political. And Peter Navarro, one of Trump's economic advisors who earlier had come out against this potential sale to Microsoft and one-time advocated a complete ban on TikTok in the U.S., echoed this endorsement recently. So it looks like this may work on both sides. But again, the details are going to be incredibly important.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Jody. That closeness that Oracle has with the Trump administration, could that potentially complicate approval of this deal?
Well, that's right. And so, making the deal is one thing. Getting it through the regulatory process in the U.S. is quite another thing. And we'll just have to see what would happen. But at this point, Microsoft is definitely out, and Oracle looks like they could try to put something together that would satisfy both Beijing and Washington.
And that potential partnership certainly seems to be part of what's driving the equity rally this morning. Jody Schneider, Bloomberg News Senior International Editor, thanks for being with us again from Hong Kong this morning. And taking a look at Oracle shares in the pre-market, they are higher by nearly 8% on news of beating out Microsoft. Microsoft shares, they're down 0.5%. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
California now allows state residents to borrow up to $100,000 from their 401k retirement accounts with no penalties if the loans are repaid within 5 years. That matches a federal COVID-19 relief measure. The Scripps Research Institute will pay $10 million to settle a whistleblower's claim that federal grant money was misused. And the National Labor Relations Board ruled that a Maryland hospital violated several labor laws during a campaign to unionize nurses.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching focuses on the economic impact from the pandemic, which have disproportionately affected Black Americans. Even the lifeline of bankruptcy may not give Black debtors a fresh start, according to dozens of academic studies over more than three decades. For more on the issue, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to bankruptcy expert Michelle Dickerson, a professor at the University of Texas at Austin School of Law.
Michelle, dozens of academic studies show that Blacks file for bankruptcy more than any other racial group, yet get less permanent relief. Can you explain why that is?
There are a number of reasons why that may be happening. The studies themselves weren't able to pinpoint exactly why that is occurring. But one thing that we're seeing painfully during COVID is that Blacks in this country, for a whole host of reasons, profile worse financially. Lower savings rates, lower household income, higher student loan rates. So it's not terribly surprising that Blacks would have higher filing rates. One of the academic studies suggested that Blacks were being steered into Chapter 13, which is a bankruptcy plan where you repay some of your bills over a five-year period, as opposed to Chapter 7, which is a much quicker and easier process. So to the extent that Blacks profile as more financially fragile, and then they're pushed into Chapter 13 and told, try to repay your bills, that would explain why you have more Blacks filing, but fewer Blacks actually getting the relief that bankruptcy is, in theory, supposed to provide.
There's been a lot of talk about systemic racism in the justice system. Is there a racist element in the U.S. bankruptcy code?
Intentional? No. But if you look at the way the code is structured, there are clear biases. And it just so happens that those biases favor a certain profile, which I have called the ideal debtor. So if you are a homeowner and you want to be able to restructure your debts to keep your home, bankruptcy is a good thing. Well, that favors whites because whites are more likely to own homes than Blacks or Latinos. If you look at other things like the type of intangible property that you're allowed to keep, whites are disproportionately likely to have an employer-provided pension. So the code has this model of who they think the debtor is that is deserving of protection in bankruptcy. And when they created the provisions to protect certain types of debtors, a certain debtor was in mind, and that debtor is not a typical Black or Latino American.
And as University of Texas School of Law professor Michelle Dickerson speaking to Bloomberg's June Grosso, catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures are up 34 points this morning. Dow futures up 216 and NASDAQ futures up 138. The DAX in Germany is little changed this morning, and the 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.66%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues, our top story straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.